Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. Again, that number, 615-737-1045.
Yeah, whatever you want to talk about across the league, previewing games this weekend, whatever you want to discuss, 737-1045. Now is your chance to talk some football with John McClain.
John, hope you're doing well. Here is a message from Paul Kuharsky.
I'm angry with you because I was sure that the Yankees couldn't compete with the Astros. And then I brought it up with you a while ago, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, and you said, but yeah, as good as the Astros' starting pitching is, their bullpen's bad, and the Yankees have a really good bullpen. So there's a chance that the Astros will pitch really well at the beginning, but they won't pitch well at the end, and vice versa for the Yankees. And I keyed my enthusiasm largely around this opinion from my good friend who knows the Astros well in Houston, to the degree that I bought tickets to game one of the World Series in New York to take my boy down there on Tuesday night. And now, tonight, I will be absolutely crushed when this thing is over. Thanks for nothing, pal.
So you think the Yankees are going to lose to Verlander tonight?
Well, if not tonight, then they'll lose to Cole tomorrow.
The answer is yes, they will lose to Verlander tonight. The series is over.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You got those guys back-to-back. We've all been stunned at how well the Astros bullpen has pitched. But last night, the Yankees just acted like they weren't interested. Bad fielding, could have been charged with a couple more errors. And I was stunned at the lopsidedness of that game last night.
Really bad.
John, what do you make of the decision for the Titans to start Ryan Tannehill?
Well, that's the one you guys wanted and thought they would do. I think it'll probably rejuvenate them a little bit. They'll probably win this game. And then I think eventually they'll probably be going back to Mariota, although it's a great for Tannehill to have a chance to prove himself again and that he can be a starter in the NFL. But there's a lot of quarterbacks in that situation. And I think we all believe that Marcus Mariota will have a new address next year, as will Jameis Winston and Titans, and the Buccaneers will be looking in that group of teams looking for quarterbacks.
How surprising is it across the league right now at the number of number two quarterback options that are playing well across the league?
That's stunning, and it's not just that, it's young guys. Like when Kyle Allen and Gardner Minshew had to play for Carolina, in Jacksonville, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, I think that we shouldn't be as surprised about him because he's a former starter, but considering that his knee injury was so bad, he almost had his leg amputated, and then to be 4-0 for the Saints while Drew Brees is out, that's amazing. And now they're going to need it with Matt Moore in Kansas City, but I don't know if it's coaching or playing, but think about how many times we've seen backup quarterbacks play. And they've been terrible. Houston was a great example in 2017 when Deshaun Watson went down. And some of those guys, it's sure good for them because, number one, they might have a chance to be starters. But, number two, teams have some of those other guys have a chance to go somewhere and maybe rejuvenate starting careers.
615-737-1045, our number. Jason, lead us off with John McClain. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm great. Jason, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for asking. Hey, I'm really hyped up. I'm a Niners fan. I've been on this emotional roller coaster up and down, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo tearing his ACL last year and, you know, just trying to hope that this would all fall together. But it seems like that Kyle and, you know, and John Lynch, it's showing that they knew what they was doing. You know, and I wanted to see your opinion on that because the pieces had to fall together, it seems like. And if you're just patient with the right team and the right system, it seems to work out because they're playing such complementary football. Their defense makes up for everything that their offense doesn't do, vice versa. And with Matt Breida busting out this speed that he has, they're taking regular players and turning them into superstars, and it reminds you of the Patriots system because, I mean, who would have thought a Matt Breida would blow up out of nowhere like that? So I wanted to see your opinion on how Kyle and them's doing and how far you see the Niners actually going. Y'all have a blessed day. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason.
That division has become really, really good, not because of the Rams. Up to go to L.A. and beat the Rams, that showed me they're for real. Now, I will point this out. Every year, there is a team or two that starts off really well. People get fired up, and then they fizzle out. I think that could be Buffalo, although when you're playing in the AFC East and you're playing against Miami and the Jets, that ought to be four automatic wins right there. But the 49ers, it's like you mentioned, they're balanced. I thought Shanahan, even though the record didn't reflect it, to take Nick Mullins and do what he did last year after Garoppolo blew out his knee was pretty amazing in its own right. And there's another backup quarterback, if he had to play, probably would do well. But they're one of the most balanced teams in the league right now, and that division has turned out to be really, really good. You know, the Rams are playing at Atlanta, and if they lose four in a row, I think you forget about them. It's a two-team race between the Seahawks and the 49ers, and who would have thunk it?
Doug, lead us off. How are you?
Doing good. I just want to ask John about A.J. Green. They said they're squashing the thought of trading him, but as a Bengal fan, I just think it's time we let him go. We're probably going to finish somewhere between, you know, with the Redskins and us and Miami. It's getting a number one draft pick. If we could pick up one for AJ, one, you know, for finishing where we are and restart this thing over, because Andy Dalton's proven he's not the answer. And as much as I love AJ, I just think it's the right move. Our defense is getting older, and, you know, the timing, I just don't think they'll be able to put the pieces together in time, and then they'll have to rebuild the defense. So I was wondering what your thoughts of going ahead and letting him go.
I don't think they'd get a number one pick for him at this point, coming off an injury like he is. I think it'd be more like a number two, and I'm sure he'd like it. You know, he's been a mainstay there for so long. Not sure. I haven't paid any attention to the Bengals in so long. I can't remember what he did last year. I don't know how old he is, but if I'm a really bad team and I'm hoping to get another quarterback or get a high pick, I'm thinking seriously about unloading my top guy and see what I can get for them. That could be the trend. I think this could be – it already is one of the most interesting trade periods in NFL history. And as we get closer to that October 29th date, I think it's going to be even more interesting.
The thing is, John, I think a lot of fans are overvaluing these guys. A.J. Green coming off an injury and not under contract beyond this year. I mean, that's not worth a second, even, right?
Well, no. I think a lot of them, you'd have to work out a contract ahead of time, but you're not going to negotiate a contract with him if you haven't seen him play in a long time.
Right. But without negotiating a contract, if you're getting 10 games of a guy, 9 games of a guy, 8 games of a guy, that's worth very little.
No, you're right. I didn't realize it was the last year of his contract, but of course not.
That's, people are talking about that with Marcus here, you know. At least before the Mahomes injury extent was known, people were like, oh, trade him to Kansas City for a third. Well, Kansas City going to pay a third for $13 million of a contract for 10 games? That's a hell of a price. Nobody's paying a third for that.
Yeah, of course not.
John, say hello to an old friend of 104.5 The Zone. Kenny the Mailman is next up. Hey, Kenny.
John McClain, how are you, old friend?
Kenny, I'm doing great. How are you? Great to hear from you.
Thank you. We go way back.
Yes, I do, and I'm wondering where you've been.
Oh, I'm hanging around. There's some voices popping up now that claim that Marcus was too nice to lead a football team, and I don't know if it's true or not. I have no idea. But in all your years of following players, have you found players that you just thought, gee, their personality just didn't match football? Because I've met Merlin Olsen, I met Steve Young. Great football players and also great people. So I'll be listening for your answer. God, great
Kenny, thanks
all right,
very
you too,
much.
Kenny.
It's great hearing from you. I've never seen a situation where somebody was too nice. You know, you don't have to be a bad guy. You don't have to be intense. But there's a lot of guys that off the field, you think, wow, how could these guys play football? And then they flip that switch. And but I've never seen anybody I thought was too nice. I don't know what the issue is with Marcus Mariota, but whatever the faults are that's caused him to be benched, and I'm sure there's many, being a nice guy is not one of them.
John, let's roll through week 7, and let's start with the big AFC South matchup, the 4-2 Texans at the 3-2 Indianapolis Colts.
Jacoby Brissett's 3-0 against the Texans the last time they played at Lucas Oil Stadium. Texans won 37-34 in overtime, and I felt like the Texans are going to, they're not going to let Brissett go 4-0 against them. I picked the Texans. I picked them to lose to the Chiefs. They won. Picked them to lose to the Chargers on the road, and they won. So this time, I'm going with the Texans.
Jacksonville's 2-4. They've traded Jalen Ramsey to L.A. They are on the road at winless Cincinnati. Do the Bengals have anything left?
The Bengals are just look to be like they're poorly coached under first-year coach Zach Taylor. But everybody's picking the Jaguars, and Gardner Minshew's coming off his worst game, and people think because they got rid of Jalen Ramsey that they'll be focused. But Bengals have played a couple of close games, so I'm taking Cincinnati at home.
Packers at 5-1, hosting the surprising 3-2 Oakland Raiders. Who do you take?
Raiders coming off the bye week. The last half, they were on the road. They beat Indy, I think. I can't remember. No, they beat Chicago in
London.
London. Now they're back. And Packers, though, I was stunned. They went to Arlington and did what they did to the Cowboys, so I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
Seahawks at 5-1. They're hosting the 4-2 Ravens in a pretty good game. That's that'll kick off at 3:30 locally here in Nashville.
A lot of people are jumping on the Ravens bandwagon and praising Lamar Jackson. They're on a record to set the all-time rushing record. But, hey, Russell Wilson's the MVP right now. I think Seattle will beat the Ravens.
You take the Bears at home against the Saints?
I didn't. I picked against the Saints a couple times. Not going to do it again as long as Teddy Bridgewater's playing. And whether Trubisky comes back or not, their offense is not very good. I think it'll be old-fashioned football, low scoring, but I'm not going against the Saints until they lose.
Do you think the Vikings have things figured out offensively now? Are you picking them to win on the road in the division at Detroit?
Detroit, to me, a lot of people think they should be fired up because they came so close at Green Bay. I see Gary Kubiak influence on Minnesota's offense right now. He's helped Kirk Cousins. They got a balance between the pass and the run. I'm sticking with the red-hot Vikings.
The Rams traded for Jalen Ramsey. Their struggles have been on offense. They're 3-3, and they will play at Atlanta. The Falcons just 1-5 on the season.
Matt Ryan, the best quarterback on a bad team, had an incredible game Sunday and got beat. Rams have lost 3 in a row. Jalen Ramsey, it's amazing. Make that cross-country trip, and his back injury went away. Anybody that has a back injury should go cross-country like he did. He
right.
Quit on his team. He got traded. He ought to be fired up. I'm going with the Rams.
I'm assuming you're taking the Bills and the 49ers to win.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll skip through that.
Bills are favored by more than any game since 1992.
Wow.
Bills are hosting the Dolphins, by the way, and the 49ers are at Washington. That's why we'll skip those games.
I presume that those were the two opponents. I didn't know which one was which.
Sunday night, Cowboys and Eagles, both teams 3-3.
Doug Peterson guaranteed a victory, and I think if the Cowboys, they might get back some of their injured players. I think if their offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, would go back to featuring Ezekiel Elliott, and more on him and less on Dak Prescott, they'd be better. I'm going with the Cowboys at home.
And give us your expert opinion. Titans hosting the Chargers, trying to get that win with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
I've seen the Chargers, saw the Texans beat them up. Phillip Rivers can still play, but they got a lot of injuries. Plus, it's amazing. They were 12-4 last year, won a playoff game. Right now, there's no resemblance to that team. You know, they've got Melvin Gordon who's come back from his holdout. He hadn't played well, complaining about the ball. I think the Titans will get a boost emotionally from the change at quarterback, and I think the Titans will win the game.
Interesting. People here hanging on that and hoping that you are right.
John, well, thank you as always.
Unfortunately, if they go to this one, unlike you, they can't get a refund.
John, thank you as always, and we'll recap the Astros' victory over the Yankees when you join us next week.
Yeah,
I can't wait, guys. Thank you very much.